The work is done. It's finished. It stands completed, and it releases a perpetual flood of benefits. It has a continuing result.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
With ample justification, this statement, "It is finished," has been called perhaps the greatest word that was ever uttered on the face of the globe. That phrase, "it is finished," is the translation of one Greek word. The word is tetelestai. It would be worth memorizing, learning to define, and even using in your vocabulary, tetelestai. It was in the ancient world, among other things, the shout of the triumphant victor. When Jesus died on the cross, it appeared to the watching world that he was broken, but he was not broken. He knew that the victory was won, and it was that victory that he had in his mind when he said, "It is finished." I think we should let this word tetelestai burn like a firebrand into our mind, because within its circumference is the freedom which you and I could never have achieved on our own merit, the freedom which we do not deserve, the freedom from sin's penalty and power, from Satan's domain and control over our lives. In this word, within the circumference of that word, is the freedom which you and I have come to experience through our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should let that word burn like a firebrand into our minds and hearts, and every day thank God it is finished. The work is done. I'm free through Christ. We ought, every one of us, to thank God for the release from sin and from Satan and from self. We ought, every one of us, to thank God for the release from sin secured for us by Christ's finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. And I want to give for a few moments a twofold analysis of Christ's word right here. First, I'd like to look for a moment at an identification of this word. The identification of this word. I want to look at it historically, and I want to look at it grammatically. I don't want to be mundane. I don't want to become too technical, but I want you to understand precisely what Jesus meant when he said it is finished. And I don't know how to do that except to unearth what that word really meant and help you to understand it. First of all, the identification of this word. I want to look at it, first of all, from a historical perspective. The historical emphasis, how this word was used in ancient history. And then I want to touch just on the grammar of the passage. There's not only a historical emphasis here, there's a grammatical emphasis. I want to touch just on the grammar for a moment and let you know that there's a certain amount of theology that is channeled right through that grammar. And it's important for us to understand it. First, there's a historical emphasis, and then there's a grammatical emphasis. How was this word used in the ancient world? It was used at least in a fourfold way. One, it was a pastoral word. It was used of the farmer caring for his herd of cattle, or of the shepherd caring for his sheep. When there was born into a farmer's herd an animal so perfectly formed that it seemed destitute of defect, that farmer would stand back and gaze upon that lovely little creature with delighted eyes, and he would say this word, tetelestai. It's finished. It's perfectly formed. It was a pastoral word used in that way. And then it was a cultural word. It was used of an artist. When an artist had put the finishing touches to the vivid landscape of his artistry, when he saw that nothing called for correction or nothing called for improvement, then he would quietly say, tetelestai, no correction needed. And then beyond that, it was not only a pastoral word, it was not only a cultural word, but it was also a sacrificial word. That is to say, it was used in the Old Testament context of sacrifice. The Old Testament worshiper was exhorted to bring the very best of his flock to God. He was to bring a spotless creature for sacrifice at the temple. He was to search out from among his flock the very best that he had and then bring that and offer that to God. He didn't always do that. True love always gives. And true love always gives the very best that it has. That's how God gave. That's why we read in the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave. And then we're told precisely what he gave. He gave the very best he had. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, monogenes, his only begotten son. True love always gives that way. It gives, and it gives the very best that it has. That's how God gave to us. And that's how we're to give to him. But we read in the Old Testament scripture that Israel didn't always do that. They were to bring a sacrifice. This is a sacrificial word. They were to bring a sacrifice, and they were to search out among their herds and their flocks the very best that they had and come and bring that to God. But the Bible says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. God says, don't give it to me, give it to your governor. I don't want the blind and the lame and the sick. I don't want polluted bread. I don't want the leftovers. I want the very best that you have. Every once in a while, he got it. When some devout worshiper, overflowing with gratitude for mercies he had received, sought out among his herd or his flock the very best he had and brought it to the temple. He brought a lamb without blemish and without spot, the pride of his flock. Then the priest, who is not accustomed to receiving these kinds of sacrifices, then the priest, seeing that it was not maimed and not halt and not sick and not diseased, would look admiringly at that lovely creature and he would say, "Tetelestai, it's a beautiful sacrifice. It's all that's needed. It's an unblemished sacrifice." And then finally, historically, this word was a judicial word. It was used in the Roman courtroom. You read of it in Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 14 in the New Testament. The idea is there. When under the criminal system of Rome, if a man were found guilty of breaking the law and sentenced to prison, he'd been given due process and pronounced guilty. When that had happened to him, an itemized list of each infraction with its corresponding penalty was nailed to his cell door. And that list was called a handwriting, literally a certificate of debt. And until that debt was paid, that certificate stood between the prisoner and his freedom. When he had served his time and the debt was finally paid in full, that certificate was taken down from off of that cell door. And it was inscribed with a very significant word to show that that man was completely debt-free. Right across that document was written this word, "Tetelestai." It is finished. And it meant that he could never again be imprisoned or penalized for those crimes. And so we're taught in the Bible that each of us has a spiritual certificate of debt. That every one of us is a spiritual renegade. That we are a theological law violator, that we have violated God's law inwardly and outwardly. And we have our own spiritual certificate of debt, and it stands between us and God. And unless it's cared for, it means that we will experience the awesome judgment enunciated on that certificate. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. It means eternal separation in Gehenna, hell. A place separated from God forever. The Bible says that we have our own spiritual certificate of debt, but it says that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, it has been blotted out by Christ's work. Colossians 2:14 says that. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It's been blotted out. And that for all believers in the courtroom of heaven, that certificate is indelibly imprinted with this word, "Tetelestai." It's finished. Doug McLaughlin's debt is paid in full. It's filed in the celestial courtroom, in the throne room of God. It's finished for me, because by the grace of God, I brought myself under the protective covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. He offered me a gift, and I responded. By faith, I appropriated that gift. I received the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and the benefits achieved for all mankind on the cross became personally mine when I received it. And it's finished. It's a powerful word. It was used in the ancient world in a wonderful way. It was a pastoral word used of a perfectly formed lamb. That speaks to me of the birth of Jesus. A perfectly formed lamb. It was a cultural word used of a flawless work of art. That speaks to me of the life of Jesus. A flawless work of art. It was a sacrificial word. It was used of an unblemished offering brought to God. That speaks to me of the death of Jesus. A lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we're redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, Peter says. And then it was a judicial word. It was used of a debt fully and completely paid. That speaks to me of the victory of Jesus on the cross. That's what he meant when he said, "It is finished." Now, there's not only a historical emphasis here, but there's a grammatical emphasis. I'll just touch on it. You know, tetelestai is a word that comes from the Greek New Testament that's stated in what's called the perfect tense. I don't want to be too technical here, but I want you to see the theology that's in the grammar. I want you to see that hagrafe, all scripture, is God-breathed. That God chose even the tenses of the verbs. It was his business how the Bible was written. Here's a perfect tense, which speaks of finished action and continuing results. And what that means theologically is this. It describes a work that stands completed. It's finished action. The work is done. It's finished. It stands completed, and it releases a perpetual flood of benefits. It has a continuing result. It stands completed, and it releases a perpetual flood of benefits. The perfect tense, tetelestai. And you know, it's interesting to study how this word is translated. We don't have the time to go into all of this, but you might want to just jot these verses down. It's interesting to see how this root word, teleos or teleao, tetelestai is the perfect form of it, is translated in other parts of the New Testament. Matthew 11:1, the Bible says, when Jesus had made an end, and that's the word. When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed them. Teleao, he made an end of. Matthew 17:24, they that received tribute money, tax money, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay? That's the word, teleao, pay, tribute. And then in Luke 2 and verse 39, and when they had performed, that's the word, teleao, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, Luke 2 and verse 39. Luke 18 and verse 31, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son shall be accomplished. That's teleao, same Greek word. You know, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he was saying it is made an end of. That's how it's translated in Matthew 11:1. It's made an end of. It is paid. It is performed. It is accomplished. Those are legitimate translations in the New Testament of that same Greek word. It is made an end of. It is paid. It is performed. It is accomplished. In other words, the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the work necessary to provide for us eternal salvation, is perfectly, comprehensively completed through Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Sin is in you because you're not a perfect creature yet, but sin is not on you. There is no condemnation for you because Jesus said tetelestai.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.